Hi. So those are some awesome testimonies. Amen. At this time, we are going to release the little ones with Sister Julie and Brother James. And if you would not mind, if you brought your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. So look at the title of today's sermon. Lay your burdens down and don't pick them up again. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's what we got to do, beloved. We got to give these burdens to the Lord and stop picking them back up again. Amen? Matter of fact, I'm going to read an entry into my diary from last summer. No, I'm playing. I don't have a diary. And if I did, it would be awful boring. But anyhow, hoot diddly do. I want to read this verse, and we're going to come back to it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. As always, this is one of those verses, guys, that I want you to underline on the back of your bulletin. Write this one down repeatedly, whatever. This is one of those we got to get in our heart. This is one of those that we have to live by. Amen? So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we're talking about laying our burdens down. Amen? Giving all this rubbish, all these scary thoughts, all these trials, we want to give them to the Lord. Amen? Anything that's stilling your joy, we want to give it to the Lord. We've been talking about trials for about 4 weeks now. I think about 4 weeks we covered the fact that, hey, trials are going to come. It's not an if, it's a when. Amen? They will happen. God does allow us to go through painful seasons in our life. And then we talked about, hey, we have to trust in the Lord and know in our hearts, as we stand on the Word of God, we have to know, hey, amen, that God will get me through to the other side. Amen? Now, what happens so many times, beloved, is when we get encouraged, we get excited, we just had this awesome devotional time in the Bible. I'm like, man, okay, I'm ready to jump over a wall, leap over a troop, whatever. I can take anything that comes my way. It's me and Jesus all the way. And then Satan will immediately try and steal that blessing. He'll try and steal your peace. He'll try and to bring condemnation on you or whatever. I mean, he's limitless in the angles he will come at you, using the same old tricks to bring in fear and discouragement. Amen? So we've laid our burdens down. We've given them to the Lord. But before we know it, if we're not attentive, we'll pick them right back up again. Amen? And what's going to happen when we pick up our burdens? You know, instead of leaving them to the Lord, what's going to happen if we pick them up, we try and do them on our own? We're going to get frustrated, aren't we? We're going to get frustrated. We're going to get mean. We're going to get moody. We're going to make a bunch of stupid. All God's people said stupid. We're going to make a bunch of stupid decisions. Amen? See, we're not made to carry all this stuff. Amen? We are created to lean on the Lord, to lean on the Most High God. That's what we're here for. And the world looks at it and they don't understand it. And they say, well, Christians are a bunch of weak folks that believe in fairy tales, you know, and Christianity is a crutch. But Christianity is way more than a crutch. We know that. Amen. And I don't have a problem with somebody that doesn't know the Lord saying it's a crutch. That's fine with me because I do lean on the Lord. But he's way more than a crutch. He's everything. He's the entire hospital. Amen. He fixes us up. He's everything. Amen. So we give our burdens to the Lord. Satan's going to try and steal that blessing, that peace that the Lord gives us. Amen. But we're going to be wise to it. Amen. We're going to make sure that we leave our burdens with the Lord and we receive that peace. Amen. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Are y'all ready to get into this? Yeah. Okay, so 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. You're perfectly cool where you're at right here. But let me read this verse. Casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That's your take home today. That's the verse you got to get down. Amen. Give it all to the Lord. Amen. Because if we don't, we're going to be stressed out. We're going to be a mess. Amen. We're going to make a bunch of stupid calls, a bunch of stupid decisions. We're going to be pulling our hair out. But see, the Lord says, give me all your troubles. Anything that can ruin your day, I want you to give it to me. Amen. So that's what we got to do. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen, amen. Man, isn't God wonderful? Those testimonies were just so encouraging. And, you know, we got to understand that, man, that God's good. You know, he can have a car almost hit you sometimes, man. No one likes that, but God is good. God is faithful. You can be in a scary situation where you're driving off all by yourself and your sugar bottom's out and you got your little girl with you. Amen. But God is good. God is faithful. Amen. Just give him some praise this morning. Just give him some praise. Let's get excited. So anyways, we're going to talk briefly about one of the lesser known kings of Judah. Okay, everybody knows about David, and they know about Solomon, and they know about Saul. There was a bunch of kings. Now, what had happened in this particular part of Israelite history is the nation of Israel was separated into two kingdoms. And one of those kingdoms is the nation of Judah. Okay, now both of these kingdoms had their problems. They had their problems with idol worship and all kinds of self-centered rubbish. Amen. But we're focusing on Judah this morning, and we're focusing on one of my favorite kings, man. King Hezekiah is really, really cool, man. Raise your hands if anybody knows anything about this guy. All right, cool, cool, cool. Hey, listen, we're going to do the cliff notes of this story, okay? Now, you're lucky, you're really blessed this morning, because if you would have come here 6 years ago when I was first starting to preach, we would have went verse by verse through this whole story. If it took an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. I mean, it never would have got that long. Everyone would have just left. But anyways, I want to get to the meat and the potatoes of this story because it's so awesome. Rick's back there laughing because you know it's true. Yeah, it could have been too. Anyways, it's all on the job training, man. You know, anyways, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Okay. Any old hoot and holler. Hezekiah is this really, really cool king, man. He loved the Lord. He wasn't a perfect king. There's only been one perfect king. Amen. And that's our Lord and Savior. But Hezekiah loved the Lord, and he did some neat construction stuff. But one of the main things he did is when he came into power, he worked very seriously to turn the nation, turn his kingdom back to worshiping the Most High God. Amen. Because a lot of idol worship had come into the land. And you'll see that. If you get into the history books in the Bible, man, Israel, man, was hardcore, man. They would be blessed by the Lord, and they would worship the Lord. Then good times would happen. Then they would get into idol worship. And then bad times would happen, man. You know, and then they would fall on their knees and repent. Amen. But see, here's the deal, man. Hezekiah loved God. Amen. And he wanted to be that leader that could be a blessing to his people. So he tore down the Asheroth poles and all the wickedness and the idols and all this stuff in the high places and said, we worship the Most High God in this land. Amen. So that's where we're at right here. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. Wouldn't you like for someone to be able to say that about you one day? That he wasn't a perfect person, but he loved the Lord, and he did everything in his power to serve the Most High God. And when he fell down, he got back up again, and he repented. Amen. And you know, I knew Paul back in the day, and he didn't start off so good, and I was kind of stressed out and worried about him. You know what I mean? But at the end of it, man, you should have seen him, bro. He was sold out to the Lord. He loved the Lord. It was something to behold, Brother Dwayne. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God, and every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. He put God first. As a leader, he put God first. Men in your homes, put God first. Mamas in your homes, put God first. Amen. Because so many of the blessings flow from obedience. Amen. From taking the scriptures and saying, you know, this is a kind of a difficult word, but I know this is what the Lord wants me to do. This is the right thing. This is what God tells me to do. So I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And when we do that, guess what? God blesses us for our obedience. Amen. He blesses us because we're obedient to him, because he can trust us with more. Amen. Remember, we're on this process where he's maturing us. Amen. And he wants to bless us. He wants to equip us with more and more. And he has much use of us. So he really wants us to wake up and mature. Amen. And as we become more and more obedient to the Lord, he will entrust us with more and more. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? So we have this King Hezekiah sold out, God, to the Lord. And you know, you might think, well, hey, this guy's so devoted to God and he's doing all the right stuff. Maybe he can be like a King Solomon and have peace on all his borders. But if you've been a Christian more than 2 days, you know that's not really how it works. You know what I mean? When we get, the more devoted we get out to the Lord, the more the Lord definitely blesses us, amen, and equips us. But like I said, he's all about our maturity. He's all about our growth, amen. And so he will allow, this is what we've been talking about for several weeks now, he will allow those crises to come into our lives. You know what I mean? He will allow the painful thing to come into our life, amen. It's not an if, but a when. Y'all with me this morning? So here's King Hezekiah doing all the right things. Now Assyria, wicked, wicked nation, man. Wicked, wicked folks, man. And Assyria, they were the big bullies on the block of the day. They had the war horses with the armor. And these were just some mean, vicious dudes, man. And they were taking over all kinds of land. Okay? So this King Sennacherib, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I'm probably not. Sets his eyes on Judah and on Jerusalem as well. So he begins to attack the outlying cities on his way to Jerusalem, taking one at a time. So Hezekiah is in a pickle. All God's people say, Hezekiah's in a pickle. Amen. Y'all did good at that one. Yeah, he's in this situation, man. I love the Lord. I've done all the right things, man. I've worked so hard to make this nation a nation that is on fire for you. And then all of a sudden, the big evil guy in the neighborhood, I mean, these guys make the Philistines look like your nosy neighbor. You know what I mean? These guys make the Philistines look like nothing, man. These are hardcore, bad, vicious. Read up on the Assyrians, man. Vicious cats, man. Okay, so anyways, this is the boat we're in right here. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 1. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, sold out to the Lord, man, doing the right thing. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. So that's the deal. Evil, vicious kings. Like, I'm gonna be like my grandpa. I'm gonna be like my daddy, and I'm gonna take over all this land, everything. I want Judah. I want that for my own. Amen. See, when we love the Lord, it doesn't mean Satan ain't gonna come against you. It doesn't mean that at all. Amen. He will do anything he can to try and steal your joy, to try and steal your blessing. So we have a nation that is on the right track. You know what I mean? And here comes Satan wanting to steal that, wanting to discourage, wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? That's his thing, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise was really, really good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 2. Let's go to the next slide here. I love this story, man. You want to read some awesome, awesome historical stuff that is really full of just awesome fruit? Read the Old Testament. Read 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's just story after story about God's faithfulness. Amen. Okay, so anyways, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem, he planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside of the city, and they helped him. So Hezekiah wasn't no dummy, man. He's like, okay, so if Sennacherib is going to come attack us, there's no reason for him to be able to enjoy all this delicious spring water that we've worked so hard on. You know what I mean? So let's stop all this stuff up, make it hard on them. Amen? So when these, you know, armies, you know, they got to eat, they got to drink. You know what I mean? They got to have this sort of thing. So Hezekiah's like, I'm not going to make it easy on them. We're stopping up all these springs, man. We can work on that later. You know what I mean? And they fortify the walls. They build extra walls. They build these armaments. They build these weapons. They're getting everybody ready. Thank you, Jesus. See, we love the Lord. Satan's always going to try and steal your blessing. Always. That's his thing, man. He always wants to bring discouragement on you. He doesn't want you to live in that place of blessing. He doesn't want you to live up to that potential. He doesn't want you to encourage anybody else. Amen? So he's going to try and steal, kill, and destroy. That's pretty much all he ever tries to do. And he just does it. That's his thing, man. But see, we have to do, now listen to me carefully here. We have to do everything that we can do. Amen? We have to do everything that we can do. Okay, you notice what he did is he said, okay, here comes the enemy. Okay, so I'm going to rebuild these walls. We're going to build them stronger, bigger than ever. Amen. We're going to clog up these springs, so it's not going to be easy on him. See, we have to do our part. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to do our part. If you need a job, if you're tired of not having any money, the wise thing is not to sit in the corner of your room playing on your computer, you know, playing video games or doing the Facebooking or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The Lord expects us to do our part. Amen. We have to go out and try and find work. We have to go out and, you know, take that computer and instead of us doing the Snapchatting or whatever the kids are doing, you know, look up the jobs, you know, do that sort of thing. Whatever. I'm just saying that's one little picture that we can look at. Just don't say, God, I need a job. That's part of it. But God expects us to do our part as well. Amen. Get out there. Look for work. Look for that job. And you know what? I hate to say it, and it's not real popular, but you might have to take a job that you don't like that much at first. You know what I mean? I've taken little jobs, making little bitty money. You know what I mean? Because I knew I needed to be doing something. Amen. I got to be bringing something in. You know what I mean? And when I would take those jobs, you know what we need to do with those little jobs? When you know you ain't making near enough money. This ain't near enough to cover my bills, Nathan. Matter of fact, Nathan, I need to borrow a cup. No, I'm playing. You know what? You take this paycheck and you say, God, I'm giving you 10% back of what you've blessed me with. Because you know what? You can do so much more with that 90% and then giving God 10% than you ever could do with your 100%. No matter how much money you're making, whether you got more than enough, amen, the Lord says, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. Amen. And it's not the Lord doesn't need your money, but this is one of the ways the Lord says, hey, test me. Because it goes against the way we think. It really does. It doesn't make any sense to think, well, I made $100 this week, and I really need about $900, you know, or whatever. But let me go ahead and give 10% of this into the offering plate so that lazy preacher can get Whataburger or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, why don't he get a real job? Never mind, don't. Any old hoot diddly do, that's another sermon. Okay. Anyways, we if we give it to the Lord, he'll do so much more with it. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't make sense. Why am I going to give this when I need so much more than this? But the Lord says, test me, and I'll prove it to you. And it doesn't always happen the way you think it should or when you think it should, but God has been faithful, and he will be faithful. He's a good God and a loving God. He asks us to do some things sometimes that you're like, huh? Huh? That don't make a lot of sense. Now, he's God, we're not. And sometimes you just got to put it in that category. You know, his ways are high above our ways. And he knows what he's doing. And he's not trying to steal your fun. He's not trying to steal your money. He don't need your money. But he said, if you do that, you'll be blessed and you will never doubt. Amen? So anyways, that's just one little thing I wanted to throw. Actually, I didn't even know I was going to say that. But anyways, there's my tithing message for a year. I'm going to go ahead and mark that one off. Whew. But you know, you got physical problems. You know, your body's hurting. Go to the doctor. Do your part. Eat healthy. Do what you can do. You got to do your part. Amen? God uses medical science. He really, really does. Amen? We have to do our part. That's what King Hezekiah is doing. He's doing everything that he can do. Amen? And that's what we want to do. Amen? He set to work resolutely and built up the wall, and that was thank you, Jesus. All God's people said, just relax, Paul. Thanks, man. Thank you. See, all that pressure's off me now, man. Whew. He set to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised towers up on it, and outside he built another wall. So he fixes up the old wall, puts some towers on it for archers and that sort of thing. Then he builds another wall before that wall, doing everything he can do. Amen? And he built another wall, and he strengthened the Milo, in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance. So he did everything he could do. Amen? And all God's people said, I'm going to do everything I can do in my power. It's like what Cindy was saying this morning. I was like, yeah, amen. It's like the doctor expects her to do certain things. You know what I mean? She's got to do everything that she can do. Amen. But see, the whole point I'm trying to get at is sometimes we're in a situation that is way bigger than what we can do about it. You know what I mean? But I'm still going to do my part. I'm not going to sit in the corner and say, well, it's just too big for me. But you know what I mean? I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to do everything that I can do. And then when it's more than I can handle, I give it to the Lord. Amen. I give it to him, and he will make a way where there is no way. So, Cindy, you don't have to live in fear every time you get in the car. What's going to happen? I don't need to be by myself. Now, the Lord does give us wisdom, and the Lord expects us to do everything in our part, but he does not want us or expect us to live in fear. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to discourage you. He wants that fear to come on. You know, he wants to destroy us. He wants us to be decapacitated. Amen. And all God's people said, I'm not having any of it. Amen. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. So as this war approaches, y'all getting anything out of this? As this war approaches, Hezekiah does the right thing, and he encourages the troops on the wall, these warriors. We got a big job, but we serve a big God. Amen. Look at the bottom of your monitor. You might have a big problem. You might have big problems. Raise your hand if you got some pretty big problems right now. I'm going to stop doing that. You might have big problems, but you have a bigger God. He's bigger than any problem. Amen? Way, way bigger. Okay. Now, this is what Hezekiah says to his people. Be strong and courageous. Man, where have I heard that before? That's all through the Bible, man. Joshua, there it is, man. David, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. Now, there's some strong dudes. Don't get me wrong, guys. Big, powerful guys. Got spikes on their horses and chariots and just really mean, vicious folks, man. And there's a bunch of them. But don't be scared of this horde. For there are more with us than with him. Oh, so it's a numbers thing. We got more fighting men. That's not what he's saying, man. You see, one angel can do an awful lot of damage to Assyrian hordes. Amen? You see, we belong to the Most High God. So Satan wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our blessing. But God says, no, I'm going to use this for my glory. This is going to be something really, really good that is going to encourage you all the days of your life, because you're going to be able to stand on where I was faithful in your life. Amen? So he's encouraging them in the Lord. With him is an arm of the flesh. Yeah, they're big, strong dudes, man. But with us is the Lord our God. You hear that? See, that's the difference between us and the rest of the world. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. If God wants me to do something, he says, I'll give you the way of the strength to do it. Amen. So I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to be discouraged. Amen. Y'all with me? And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's go to the next slide. I really love this story. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 15. Can you go back? Yeah, there we are. Now, okay, let me get you up to date on this story, because there's so much going on. Hezekiah does everything he can do with what he can do. Amen. He prepares as best as he can. And he encourages the troops and the soldiers and the folks in the Lord. Amen. But then, like I said, when we lay our burdens down, when we trust in the Lord, so much and so often, Satan wants to steal that blessing. Well, he wants to steal it every time. But sometimes we won't give it to him, and sometimes we'll give it to him without even thinking about it. We'll lay that burden down, and then we'll walk out the door. And then, you know, within 2 hours of getting home after being encouraged by being in the house of the Lord with our brothers and sisters, and Brother Paul just killing it with the amazing message. You know what I mean? And you're doing great. You're doing fine. And then there it is. The bad report comes in. And then you get in the bad place. And then you're acting like a fool. And Satan's smiling. Delicious. That's my evil voice. Delicious. That's also my voice when Rachel makes that peach cobbler. Delicious. Okay, so Sennacherib, the evil cat, sends some folks to Jerusalem, this whole psychological warfare thing, because Sennacherib's already fighting in different cities in Judah. But his eyes on the prize, man, Jerusalem, the king, the head of the snake. You know what I mean? So he sends this detachment, to go to the city walls to meet with some Judean dignitaries, you know. And so at first they're talking where no one can hear them. But as you could imagine, people start gathering on these walls. These warriors and different folks start gathering on the walls. Hey, those are some Assyrians down there. What's going on? And so the Assyrians start talking really loud. And they start talking in the Hebrew language. And the Judeans are like, hey, just talk to us in Aramaic, man. It's cool, dude. We can understand each other. And they're like, nah, man, we're going to talk in Hebrew. So all those people can hear. And they start bad-mouthing God. Start bad-mouthing the king. Said, you know what? You guys don't have a chance. Your king, Hezekiah, he's lying to you. You stay in this city, you're going to starve to death. You're going to die. Psychological warfare. That's Satan's big thing, man. See, Sennacherib, the evil king, is laying his groundwork, trying to get that fear in there, and that fear will spread like a wildfire. Amen? That's what Satan wants to do in your home. That's what he wants to do, you know, in your place of work, wherever you're at. Man, it just gets harder and harder and harder. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. God knows what he's doing, and he says, sometimes you just have to trust in me. Amen? Even when it doesn't make sense, trust in me, because I promise in my word that I will get you through this. Amen? So we lay our burdens down. We don't pick them up again. Give them some praise. Now, this is what this evil dude says. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion, and do not believe him, for no God. They just had this big inspirational thing from Hezekiah. God can deliver. God is awesome. You know what I mean? And everybody's like, yeah, I wish those Assyrians were here right now, man. And then the Assyrians are here. There's like three of them down there. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion, and do not believe him, for no God, little g, for no God of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. The Assyrians had a big record of crushing other nations. And see, the rest of the world worshiped these false gods. Even Israel got into bad idol worship. Judah was toying around with that stuff too. Amen. Y'all with me? So he's not wrong in what he's saying, that no other God, who was a fake false God in the first place, could deliver them from my hand, from King Sennacherib or his parents or those before him. So in the natural, they can think, well, what makes us any different? Well, the big difference is they serve the one true God, the living God, the God who has a proven track record, the God who set them free out of Egypt, the God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that me and you serve, Travis, you hear what I'm saying? The same God that has been faithful throughout our whole lives, Brother Donnie, that's the same God, amen? He will not let us down, amen? Things don't always have to work out the way you think they have to work out, but God is faithful, and he will get us through to the other side. So when we lay those burdens down, they can stay there and let God do his thing. Amen? Y'all with me? No kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from my hand of my fathers. How much less will your God, how much less will your God deliver you out of my hand? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. The world doesn't get it, man. They don't get it, but that's okay. They serve their master. We serve our master. Amen? Yeah. Turn to 2 Kings. Or you know what? Just stay right there. Look on the monitor. You got a hall pass today. 2 Kings 19 and 14. Now, the story of Hezekiah, you can catch it in 2 Kings as well as 2 Chronicles. And there's a lot of stuff in Isaiah as well. Okay, 2 Kings 19 and verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. What are you talking about now, Paul? Okay, this envoy shows up from Assyria talking all this rubbish, trying to get fear into the camp. And it's working. It's working. Everybody's getting terrified. Not only that, King Sennacherib, whatever his name is, the bad dude, has to leave for a little while because he's got another battle to face on another front. But he wants to continue messing with King Hezekiah. He wants to continue messing with those in Judah. So he sends this letter to King Hezekiah. And he reads this letter, and it's mocking God, saying basically the same thing I already said. Your God cannot deliver you from my hand. No one's ever been able to be saved from the Assyrians. Amen? So Hezekiah gets this letter. This is what I'm talking about. This is the main point this morning. He takes this letter, and he runs to church, and he's like, boom, God, that's for you. That's for you. He's talking all kinds of bad stuff about you. Just like David and Goliath, when little David was like, what? No one's going to go kill that guy? You hear what he's saying about God? I got it. I'll go. You know, God's definitely got my back on this one. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? He takes the note. I'm talking about, guys, you know what? We've made some bad, stupid mistakes sometimes, but we need to take those mistakes and give them to the Lord. Boom. You know, here's my credit cards. Boom. You know, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to bite the bullet from here on out. You're going to give me the strength to only buy what I need to buy. Amen. You know what I mean? But I give it to you, Lord God. You take up the slack. I made some stupid boneheaded mistakes, and I know there's some consequences I got to deal with, Lord. But I'm giving this to you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you're going to make a way where there is no way. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Putting some bills down. Okay, the note, the report from the doctor. Boom, there it is. This is out of my hand. I'm going to eat right from now on. I'm going to do what I have to do. But God, this is way bigger than I am. I'm giving this to you. Amen. And once it's down there, that forgiveness that you know we should have given a long time ago, throw it down there. God, you know how this person has hurt me. Boom, I give it to you. You know what I mean? And then I'm not going to pick it up again. Amen. Because like I said, we do it. Satan's like, you need to pick that burden up, man. You need to pick that burden up right now. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Isn't that awesome? It's like, here you go. God, now here's page one and here's page two. And look what he says here, God. You take that. You know what I mean? I give this to you, man. This is way above my pay grade. You know what I mean? But he wants to do the right thing. So he gives it to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand. He's giving it to the Lord. Lord God, this is way bigger than me. You know what I mean? My car keeps breaking down, man. Boom, give it to the Lord. God, you got to work. You got to figure this out. I can't do it. I don't know how to do this. I don't have the money. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Because what Sennacherib was, what he said was true. No other nation has been able to stand up against the Assyrians. But they don't worship real gods. They worship false gods. They sacrifice their kids to false gods. Amen? They're in the same boat. You know what I mean? But I worship the one true God. Amen. And no, I'm not perfect. And no, yes, I've made plenty of mistakes. But I love the Lord. Amen. So I give this burden to him. And he's my dad. Amen? Next slide. So this is what we're going to do. 1 Peter 5:7. We already talked about it. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Memorize it. You will have a test on that this week. Very soon. Within the hour, probably. When you get in the car with your kids or your mate or whatever. You know what I mean? Give him your burdens. Whatever it is. Because he cares for you. He's tired of you making a mess of everything. He's like, I'm tired of my kids being stressed out all the time, freaking out. You know what I mean? I want you to have peace. I paid for not only for your salvation, not only for your physical healing, but I paid for your peace of mind. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Amen? All right. Matthew 11, verse 28. Coming to you out of the NIV. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, that is clearly a salvation verse, amen? But it also works about these burdens. Why don't we give them to the Lord so we can have peace? Now, let's wrap this jam up. And all God's people say, let's wrap this jam up. Thank you, sweetie. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 21. This is so cool, man. And the Lord, so he gives the burden to the Lord. Because there's nothing he can do about it anyways. But you know what? If he didn't give it to the Lord, can you think of the mess and the consequences that they would have to face? See, that's why we need godly leaders. Amen. And that's why we need to pray for our leaders. Whether you voted for them or you didn't, or you can't stand them, or you can't believe he said this 10 years ago or whatever. You know what I mean? Pray for those that are in authority. Amen. Because they have all kinds of weights on them that we cannot even fathom. You know what I mean? Pray for our leaders. Amen. And we want to pray, you know, for our leaders. We want to pray for our church family. Pray for one another. Amen. Pray that the Lord will give us wisdom as individuals. Amen. That we will do the right things in our home and in our workplace.